Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Everybody's working.
With that time jersey.
Yeah, the Chiefs and the Dolphins played. It was weird. Only weird games. Yet we've been down this road only 1,000 times before. This one was even stranger in different ways than usual. Although I will say, I kind of feel like I sort of understood maybe the first 3 quarters of the Kansas City Chiefs' victory over the Miami Dolphins. And then that might not have even been, by some metrics, the most important game of the day for the Kansas City Chiefs. As the Buffalo Bills handled their business against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night. It's why this show's coming out, you know, later than usual, because we had to make sure we watched that last night, and then I wasn't going to let Seth tell me we were doing the podcast at 4 a.m., so here now we are. But the Chiefs now stand alone as the number one seed in the AFC. If they just win out, and also a few other opportunities still, but if they win out and some other stuff could potentially happen, they're going to get that first round bye. Puts them in a good spot. The win over the Dolphins had a lot of things going on in it. This is Times Ours, a show about only weird games. I very rarely actually successfully introduce all three of us, but I'm going to today. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I'm going to throw it to Nate Taylor in a second. Seth Kaiser will be the third voice that you hear. I'm not playing favorites, but Seth, I need you to not say anything now. Otherwise, it's going to throw off. Everyone's going to get so confused about who's talking when. But I wanted to just sort of kick you guys a big sort of overarching question from this game.
Yes.
Because I've read both of your stories you've written about it. Nate, you've written it up on The Athletic. Seth, you've already written in the Chief of the North newsletter. What was the story of Chiefs Dolphins? What was the takeaway that you had? Because you guys both covered some different ground. The Chiefs are AFC West champions, and this game was, appropriately, a little odd.
Very odd. It's one of those games where you shouldn't take it for granted as a fan of this team, that they went back to, you know, for this collection of men employed by Clark Hunt, they went back to their greatest feat and were just, thank God we got out of there with a win. Like, that was the overarching theme in all the discussions from the Zoom calls, was just like, hey, thank God we won. thank God there wasn't a collapse of what would have been epic proportions. They are such a strange team, but they're also the world champs, and they're also a Death Star that it could self-destruct and still beat you. Like, they had 4 turnovers, Josh. 4! And within the second drive, people were already tweeting at us. We're in the weird games, y'all. This is all they do. This is all they do. They can't be conventional in any way, shape, or form. It was such a contrast with everything that surrounded the game compared to where we were 10 months ago. I obviously wrote about that. But, you know, there were some similarities, mostly that Patrick Mahomes keeps throwing interceptions in Miami for some reason. And they had another 10-point rally. It just, this time it happened in the second quarter instead of the fourth. And, I mean, they landed home. And this should not be forgotten in the course of the history, you know, and the perspective of where the season will eventually conclude. But they flew home yesterday and realized that they control their own destiny now. And despite everything that just happened, they're still 12-1. They still got the best quarterback in the league. And I don't know about you, Seth, but if you're the Miami Dolphins, I don't know what more you could have asked for them given the circumstances they were in. And you could start asking that same question to every team in the AFC that may come across the Chiefs on their path.
Can I talk now?
I just need, I mean, people know that's Nate and I was Josh, and so Seth, by process of elimination, now you're the one that goes now.
Okay. I'm gonna take this as a subtle but important reminder that chaos is not welcome here at Times Ours, and I think people should note that.
I just wanted to make sure everyone knew who was who. The thing I'm worst at this podcast is actually identifying all three of us, and I thought today was a nice change up. I was going to try to do it.
Nice. You know what? I appreciate that. So my biggest takeaway, I agree with everything Nate just said. What I wrote about right away was the way the Chiefs break kind of a lot of the rules that we have with regards to what wins and loses football games.
Mm-hmm.
They now, you know, it was a road game, even though Miami, you know, they were at a lower capacity. But I think lower capacity is a little bit different than no capacity. I think there's still a little bit of home field advantage to be had there, just not as much, right? Mm-hmm. They turned the ball over four times. And two of those turnovers, at least, were like these drives would have had points, barring like a terrible missed field goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 6 points taken off the board at the very least. And I mean, even early on that first pick, I mean, they just took a lot of points off the board.
and they still scored 33, Seth.
They still scored 33. Basically, everything we know about football tells us that if you turn the ball over four times, unless the other team turns it over two or three times at least, you're going to lose. Possessions are the most valuable thing in football because, you know, if you average, you know, a point of possession or 2 points of possession and you get three extra possessions, that leads to more points. I mean, these are and with turnovers, especially because you are robbing one team of a possession,
yes,
making it automatically a zero on theirs, and you're giving yourself an extra one. It's the most important play in sports. And, well, in football, at least. I haven't done the research on, you know, I don't know, you know, cricket to know whether there's something more important that can happen.
I actually have, and it's still turnovers in football.
Oh, okay. Man, Siri can be so helpful sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm talking, Siri, what's the most important play in sports? So they can do that and still win against a good team. And you can talk to me about injuries with the Dolphins. I mean, the Chiefs' entire offensive line is like, there's Eric Fisher looking around like, who the crap are these guys? Like, it's just, they've got their own stuff. And they still win. And something that I've referenced before, Therese Paylor, who we all love,
yes,
who Nate does an uncanny impression of, that still spooks me. He talks about the Chiefs going on a run. You know, the run's always coming. And the comparison a lot of people make, and I wrote about this, is the Golden State Warriors. And I also compared them, and I'm not talking about outside the boxing ring. We all know young Mike Tyson had some problems, and maybe old Mike Tyson does too. I still wouldn't fight him, but that's a whole nother ball of wax. But with Tyson, like, if you watch his fights, like
avalanches,
his fights for a little while, right, it's like, oh, this looks like it might be even, and then the whirlwind comes.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he didn't knock the guy out during the whirlwind, it was over. Like, the fight was effectively over, and it feels like that's what the teams are doing to people. It's like that barrage of three that comes from the Warriors. Yeah, there's still, 10, 15, 20 minutes left in the game, but it feels over.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't go up 30 during that time. But it's just such a massive swing. And when that's what the Chiefs did, it was like during like a 13-minute time period.
Yes.
They put up like 28. And it would just, it happens, or I think they put up 30 because they got that safety. And it happens so fast. And their defense seems to feed off it during those runs. They're able to get some of those stops. And a good team. Miami's a really well-coached team. They didn't panic. A lot of respect to Tua. He started handling that cover zero look a lot better as the game went along. Although I have some thoughts about that last drive that I want to circle back to at some point.
Interesting. But,
yeah, it relates to our favorite topic, time of possession.
Mm.
That's the thing.
I'm ready to feed on it.
I'm locked back in again. I kind of zoned out. I didn't hear him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you say time of what?
Yeah.
But the run is always coming with the Chiefs, and most teams just aren't equipped to handle it. Even whether it's in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth, whenever it happens, it's almost always too much.
because other teams just aren't built to deal with that. So even if it happens in the second and third quarter and there's still lots of game left, it's kind of like for the Buccaneers, right? That game was over after the first quarter. And the Chiefs no longer have a defense that is going to, 90% of the time, melt down, which is what was required for teams to keep up in 2018. And so that was my takeaways. They kind of break the regular rules. They're so good on offense, and their defense is good enough that they can go on these runs, and other teams have a really hard time trading punches with them.
Right. Yeah. When you feel like you have to score, and that's a different that's a different type of pressure than just playing freely within the framework of what your scheme is, you know, where you are in the rhythm of the game, the tempo. Like, that's different than being like, hey, y'all, they scored twice in 5 minutes. We need a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's hard. Most teams can't do that. And that pressure gets to teams, absolutely. Like you said, it's a different kind of pressure. Like, we have to score a touchdown or something terrible is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, going back to the turnovers that both of you guys obviously mentioned there, not only was it three picks and two of them were deflected and both of them had their issues. And you could put any of those three on Mahomes in some way and not on Mahomes in another way.
Yep.
I'm willing to go through that and say, you know, well, dude popped up off the ground. One of them was really, you know, Clyde's fault because he's too short. That was sort of my takeaway.
Had they drafted him in the fourth round, he would have caught that.
Well, if they would have taken a bigger running back later, of course, right?
Exactly. I'm often saying you need bigger running backs.
If Swift was on the field, he would have caught that. But wait, didn't he drop a touchdown game when he passed in the first week of the season?
No,
you know what I mean, y'all.
He went in the second round. I'm not interested.
Swift's out there like, I would have caught that.
Yeah, I'd cut that. But like, both of those were really weird picks, just very strange ones. And then the third one, Xavien Howard, just made like an
incredible
sketch. Just incredible. But also, Mahomes maybe shouldn't have challenged Xavien Howard to the high point of the ball. The Clyde one could have certainly come down, and maybe he should have, you know, seen the defender popping up from the ground. You can do whatever you want with all three of those. I'm not losing sleep. But they lost the turnover battle 3-1. Or 4-1.
4-1, yeah,
They lost it by 3, because also Hardman's fumble there. The fact that, and I know I'm sort of repeating what you were getting at there, Seth, but the fact that wasn't debilitating, and it didn't even put him on skates. Like, it wasn't even the Texans playoff game where you're like, all right, you guys have a lot of work to do. Like, it was 10-0. All right, I mean, you know, the Dolphins probably should have gone for it back on that first possession.
Thank you, sir.
And didn't go for it.
Preach.
Really would have really made a lot of sense.
Preach to us. Look, we told you, Brian Flores. We told you, Brian.
Brian, we tried. Whose fault is that? Not ours.
Not ours.
But, you know, you can, and you wrote this in the newsletter, Seth. They needed 15 things to go their way, like 10 things did, and that's simply not enough to beat the Chiefs, which is, again, totally bonkers. That's exactly how unbalanced the scales are in the Chiefs' favor because of everything they do so well.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way of putting it, mostly because you're repeating what I said.
Yeah, that's... That phenomenon has saved our relationship multiple times.
Our ability to occasionally just mirror back to the other one. It's like, well,
as the bromance counselor in this, I'm just happy that you guys are actually applying the things we've discussed previously in our sessions.
Yeah. Well, no, Josh and I are a lot like babies or puppies. If you put a mirror in front of them, it'll really calm them down. And if we see a mirror of like, oh, they're saying what I said. You know what? I like the cut of this guy's jib.
Yeah.
Like, this is... But no, I really like the way you phrased it. It's just bonkers. They do so many things so well. And Miami's a good team.
They are.
And they're a really well-coached team. Flores, man, great coach. And Howard, what a pick that was. I mean, yeah, Mahomes could have put it 2 more feet in the air.
Sure.
And it would have been tough for Tyreek to bring down. But you even had, the Chiefs missed some opportunities besides that, but like four turnovers. And it's just not enough. And that's what we're seeing over and over again, like where you're seeing with teams, like it's just not enough. You know, the Chargers can smack Mahomes 400 times, it felt like, right?
Yeah.
And play a great defensive game, and it's not enough. Teddy Bridgewater can lead a ferocious comeback. It's not enough. It's just never enough. They're just relentless. And I think there's still a little ways from it, but I think we are getting close to that point. You're going to see teams start to quit a little bit during that run where it's just like, what's the freaking point?
Mm-hmm. That team is called the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game. Now, I will say, one thought that I had about this game, and I definitely want to get your guys' reaction to it, is as I wrote in the story in The Athletic, and it dawned on me like an hour or two before kickoff, you know, we have all been blessed to cover this team since Patrick Mahomes' arrival. And you start to realize that, like, wow, the Miami Dolphins are one of the last AFC teams to play the Chiefs mm-hmm. in this particular context. And for as good of a coach as Brian Flores is, and this ain't his fault. I'm not blaming him at all. Because he was aware, like, a couple days before the game where he was like, I think his quote essentially was, you know, it'd be great if I had 14 defenders on the field instead of just the mandatory 11. Mm-hmm. Like, he knows it because mm-hmm. he obviously came from the Patriots, you know, situation. Obviously, he was the better defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick than some other dude who's not employed. He understood it when they played them twice in 2018. It's one thing to tell your players what's coming. It's another for when the three start to happen and you're like, but he's pulling up behind the half court mark. Like, what? Right. What? Wait, what? Or it's like, hey, a fast break. Oh, man, it's 2-on-1. But why the hell is he passing to the corner three? You're like, yeah. Like, 100%. You just aren't ready. And it is one of the more fascinating things, because the thing I want to ask you all is, there are moments in my mind from that game where you could see it in the Dolphins' eyes that they're like, oh, this is the speed they're talking about. Oh, like, even someone of as great as Xavier Howard was like, but did you just see how he ran right by me? Like, what? There's this great clip on NFL Checkdown, the Twitter account, that is managed by the NFL. You can go look it up. Where Tyreek Hill points to the defender. He points on the pre-snap, and he's like, hey, Patrick, you want me to block this guy? And Patrick's like, yeah, go block Hill, because we're running the football, but we're not running it where you think we're running it. And Tyreek Hill goes on the jet sweep, and what he does to that poor safety, I mean, I just... That is one of my two favorite moments of the game. It's like the safety's in the perfect position, and then he runs right by you. Like the Dolphins now know, if they see them in the playoffs or whenever they play Patrick Mahomes again on the schedule, they'll know. They'll be like, see, we this ain't gonna happen to us again. We're not just gonna let 30 get on us in a blink of an eye. Yep. But they had no chance to prepare for that because they had just never seen it. And they were, again, one of the last teams to just truly get blitzed to death by this team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
So what were your favorite points, gentlemen, where the Dolphins realized, we might be a playoff team. That's a championship team we playing against. Oh, I can see the difference now, Brian. I can see the difference now, Coach.
I'm watching the checkdown video right now, and it's very funny because it's just, I can't imagine you're getting that kind of, like, I don't know, that kind of pre-snap chess in that particular way, right, very often.
Right.
This was also, I did not see that pre-snap action happening. I was going to say this play also, though, because it was like, well, they really needed to figure out a way to score. Like, they needed to put some points up. It kind of felt like, you know, that getting that vibe back and everything would be really great down here, getting close to the red zone. And seeing Tyreek Hill running just through dudes' arms and around their outstretched hands, it was like, oh yeah, like that's the kind of speed that you can't really match up with. You can only get kind of lucky with, and the Dolphins very much did not get lucky on that play.
Mm-mm.
Yep. No, the entire thing, it just felt inevitable. And even, you know, as Miami kind of started to close in at the end, although this was another game where if you look at the win probabilities, which, you know, I understand, you know, look, I'm out here fighting about context every week, but win probability models are good by and large. And it's so funny how certain games, it feels closer at the end because, you know, you're watching in the moment and you start assuming bad things will happen because they have for like a drive or two.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's like the Tampa Bay game. The win probability for Kansas City never dropped below 75% in that game. And it was a relatively similar story with Miami. They needed a bunch of things to go right still to even have a chance to win the game. And they had, like I did right, you know, they had like 10 of those things go right in a row at the end. But that's the thing. When you walk in with, you know, a 17-point lead into the fourth quarter or however many it was, you got a lot of margin for error there. And it was just interesting watching the Dolphins just, they really were knocked out after the early third quarter. And they fought, they scrapped, but by and large, the game wasn't that close.
Right, give them credit because they did what Drew Lock and the Broncos haven't done in two games, which is really like, you know, give a crap.
Fight back.
Give a crap in the fourth quarter. So credit to them. Tua is good. I think they would be a more enjoyable team to watch in the playoffs, honestly, than the Las Vegas Raiders at this point, given everything we know about both teams. But hey, we'll see.
That happened fast.
Happened real fast. Woo!
Three weeks of Raiders football, and it was like, yeah, we're a legitimate playoff team. Oh my God, fire the defensive coordinator.
So the other thought I had where this reminds you that there's a championship team playing a potential playoff team. Have we talked any seconds on this podcast, guys, about one Chris Lamons? Have we talked one second?
I don't think so. I don't think so. He's been the call up. I think two weeks in a row.
Yes,
special team star. I don't think we've said his name because I thought it was pronounced Lamons until 1 second ago.
Well, we gonna find out anyway. Sir Chris used to play for the Miami Dolphins, so this was a coming home. For him, a little revenge special. He was on the Dolphins in 2019, you know, when they were in fully on tank mode. Apparently, he was probably playing too good, and they were like, look, dog, we're trying to lose these games. Like, we need to waive you. He gets picked up by the Chiefs on the practice squad. He was on the team. He was with the team when they went on to win the Super Bowl. So he was on the practice squad last year. Yes, I know. DeAndre Baker is also on the practice squad. They chose Chris Lamons for a reason. Dave Tobias apparently saw something in practice. And then the reason Mecole Hardman was never touched was because Chris Lamons laid out a dude and celebrated before Mecole Hardman was in the end zone. That's the difference, kids. You got beat by Chris Lamons. Lamons.
That might not even be how his last name is pronounced.
Exactly. I would know how to say his name if we were in the locker room, but you know, 2020.
Yeah, 2020.
I would have loved to have talked to him after the game because his celebration was obviously captured on CBS. He's ripping that guitar after he makes the clear out block for Mecole Hardman touchdown. And yeah, we could have called the game right there, Seth. Because I mean, it's not that you just get beat by Patrick Mahomes or Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or Frank Clark and Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu, like literally the guy who got called up, perhaps 53 on the 53-man roster, beat you.
Yeah, it was just over, and the Chiefs are just too good. It's so easy when you cover a team day to day it's very easy to both overestimate and underestimate them, right? Like, we tend to think of maybe average players or maybe pretty good players mm-hmm. or not so good players. We think of them as awesome. Or the guys who maybe are a little subpar, we think of them as horrible because every snap gets reviewed ad nauseum. And so by doing so, it's easy to really focus a lot of times on the weaknesses that the Chiefs do have. You know, they've got some concerns in the interior offensive line, although they converted short yardage situations multiple times, almost like they just had two kind of randomly bad games in a row. Someone should have talked about that last week. Anyway. So they
if someone had talked about it, Seth, where would they have been able to read about it if someone had talked about it?
I'm glad you asked. The Chief of the North newsletter is here for the common working Chiefs fan, those who want to get inside the box score. No, beyond the box score. Dang it, I'm bad at this. Josh, you make it look so easy. Anyway.
It's really my greatest strength is the seamless plug in the middle of a sentence.
You can do ad reads like no other. So they do have weaknesses, but because we watch them all the time, everyone's like, oh my gosh, you know, the linebacker group is going to lose us a game. It's like, maybe. I mean, it could happen. It's the NFL. But when you compare the Chiefs top to bottom to every other NFL team, mm-hmm. and obviously Patrick Mahomes, I mean, when you start
it's
there.
It's such a chasm. It's so big.
It alters.
It's so wide.
It's just a big, big chasm. The Chiefs' weak spots aren't that big a deal by and large, and the places where they're strong are a really big deal.
I hope our good friend Ethan Douglas is hearing this right now, because Ethan, I know you want to question the front office. Seth just said what they're thinking to your answers, which is they could be better, but we have Patrick Mahomes and that doesn't matter as much as the majority of NFL rosters. Now, it will bite them in 2 years, probably, if they keep going on the way they're going on. But, I mean, as Seth alludes to, as I know Josh is just, you know, waiting to see the production of Clyde Edwards-Helaire explode.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
The Chiefs front office.
Listen, man, Nate, you've now mentioned two things that I didn't really want to talk about on this podcast. Not because I don't think it's interesting, but because I can't have Seth have another walk out of the show moment.
Don't blame me. Blame Ethan, okay? Like,
Ethan's not on this podcast right now, Nate.
I know. He'll enjoy it, though. It'll get back to him at some point. But the front office is out here flexing like they don't have any issues because they believe they can do that.
Right. And the issues exist.
Yes, they clearly exist. Yes.
And exactly. But I think what ends up happening is you get so focused on your team that their weaknesses become these glaring weaknesses, and you stop really realizing like how to contextualize things or compare them. It's kind of like how people view drafting, you know? They missed on like 3 draft picks or something like that. It's like, well, you know, most teams miss on 3 or 4 draft picks a year, probably more, honestly. And that, by not contextualizing that, it becomes really easy to forget how good or bad a team can be. And the Chiefs right now are just, there's just a chasm between them. And it's not just Mahomes. Because, I mean, Mahomes wasn't getting multiple stops during that run, right? I mean, it's not, Mahomes is obviously the great equalizer. You put him on any team and they are a playoff team for sure. You combine that with Andy Reid, it's probably at least a borderline Super Bowl contender. These are just facts. But they have good players at virtually every important spot. Even areas where they haven't really invested in. Like the cornerback thing, because that's, you know, the primary reason why, you know, you talk about, you know, investment and draft picks and stuff. It's like, man, I'd like to see more corners on this team. Right. And then you watch L'Jarius Sneed just cover guys in a blanket. And you're like, oh, how'd you do that? Like, what the crap? Now, they better hope that continues, or they're going to have to answer bucking, you know, more analytically sound decision making. But it's just, it's a reminder how good the Chiefs are that they took an 8-4 Miami team and turned the ball over 4 times and they still just won anyways. They're just like, yeah, we're just going to win. Oh, we turned the ball over. How about we get some points off that? by sacking you in the end zone. It was awesome.
I'm just going to do a 15-second thing on one thing where I think you guys are very close to a point that Ethan was trying to make. That I'm going to just give it 1 second here. I think that being this close on a team also makes you see, like, the success can keep you from having the conversations that you would have around whatever missed draft picks, mm-hmm. or unideal contracts,
or
things weren't going well,
yeah, or a lucky bounce or two that doesn't go your way, and instead of being 12-1, you're 10-3.
Right. That stuff all gets magnified. I think this didn't come up, and I didn't want in on the Twitter conversation particularly either. But like the day that John Dorsey was left by the day that he was mutually departed from. As the Chiefs would have put it at the time, all of a sudden it was all about the things that John Dorsey did poorly and not about, many of the guys you would say the success of this team is built around, like Mahomes, Kelsey and Hill and Chris Jones and whatnot. It was all about contracts to Eric Berry that didn't work because he got hurt, and Justin Houston yeah. And everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were never fair things to blame on Dorsey, honestly. Guys get hurt. Justin Houston and Eric Berry, when he gave them those contracts, were like the two best players in the league at their position.
Right, and so I think that we're probably, I could see a world in which we're a year away from having that conversation, mm-hmm. about Frank Clark like you were having about Justin, mm-hmm. Houston, or even about Eric Berry. Having a first round pick at a position that so far hasn't brought back that value, and I don't think is going to, but we'll see over years. We have literally years to learn that definitively, whatever. I don't think it's totally unreasonable to be like, yeah, here's where the front office was not infallible, and treating it as such would not be good for the conversation as a whole.
Yeah. So what the Chiefs are doing from a front office standpoint is kind of walking a tightrope. Like, now, you got a specialist up there because you got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but they are walking a tightrope because anything other than the championship, we gon' hear it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I don't think that's an unreasonable. I don't really want to have that conversation in December or January, but I think that. I think maybe there are varying. Varying problems that can present themselves whenever we are exclusively looking through a magnifying glass or a microscope, where you can say all teams around the league miss draft picks. Absolutely true. Every team will also have those. And, I don't think we should spend a show trying to figure out, did Colin Saunders, a third round pick, just get, absolutely wiped out of the rotation,
right,
by Tershawn Wharton or whatever. Yep. I don't think that means Brevich is a bad GM. I don't think that means that this team is actually doomed, but I also think it's fair to go, that one doesn't seem like it's working, and have a little conversation around that. Anyway, that was more than 15 seconds. I was not ready to leave that.
Still great though.
Can I think that's such a good point, because there has a tendency for bad analysis to go both ways, right? Well, they're 12-1. So it doesn't matter, right? Results-oriented analysis is not good. Right. Let me rephrase that. Certain kinds of results-oriented analysis are not good. You can't, and treating the front office like they're infallible just because they won a Super Bowl, which obviously that's a sign they're doing something right, but that's not a sign that they're doing everything right. And so you do have to have those conversations. And that's why I appreciate people are willing to push back on those types of things. I think where the tightrope walking, to paraphrase Nate, really comes in is figuring out what's legitimate criticism and what isn't. And how should that criticism be framed? Because like Colin Saunders, third round pick who isn't really able to get on the field right now, that's, not good. It's a missed pick. Not being able to get on the field because an undrafted rookie free agent is playing really, really, really well, that becomes a little bit of a different conversation, and it's hard to have quite the same conversation, right, about it.
It would be different.
And so that's where it gets tough.
It would be different if they hadn't convinced Tershawn Wharton to take a risk on his own part and sign up with the defending Super Bowl champions, even though they appeared to have one of the best defensive lines in the league. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky.
Role.
Yeah, it's very tricky.
The problem is people just bury people that say anything negative, and then, someone like me flies in and quote tweets you because, why not kick someone when they're down? And it really is, though, it's worth having the conversation. Like, Ethan makes great points.
He does.
They haven't been flawless.
He does.
And And then it's just a matter of deciding, okay, how many mistakes were made? How bad are they? You know, how does that compare to what you generally see on every other NFL team? And that's where, you know, like say like the Frank Clark contract, you know, we'll see how this year pans out. It's hard to be as critical. Like, it's going to always be hard to call that a completely wasted move.
Because they already won.
How it panned out. Yeah. It's really this automatic cheat code they get. It's not really
let
fair.
Let me remind you what the front office message is. We already won a Super Bowl.
And that's hopefully. That was so funny. Oh my gosh. And so hopefully they don't get too caught up in that, because certain things, like, you know, I'm curious what they try to do with Sammy, because they love Sammy Watkins. And I like Sammy. I think he provides a specific skill set. But like, when you look at the guys available in the draft this year, I mean, what if Waddle, like, you know, falls to like 20?
Don't say that, Seth.
What if like Devontae Smith is just hanging around? Because people are like, oh, he's too small, and it gets to like 25. I'm gonna be like, you know, guys,
you know what? I need people to know right now. Seth is naming draft prospects in January.
That's because
never
Seth watch Seth. Seth doesn't name draft prospects in April.
He will learn these about receivers them after are so good.
No, I know. I just think that's incredible.
Thank you.
I'm just stunned by it. Like, that's how drunk you are on. Well, listen, what if.
Give me more receivers, boys.
Yeah. Ooh. Gosh. I would love
it. I just. It's just something I think about a lot.
The one thing there, and I know we're way out ahead, but they did just draft basically a receiver in the first round this year.
I know, but why stop? Wait, I thought you were talking about Hardman.
No.
Well, and then they finally started throwing him the ball, right, and look what happened.
It was a great little change up there in the second quarter where Andy Reid's like, "Oh, I got to run the real plays now. All right, let me hey, Clark, stop running them routes, dog. We're down 10-0. We should pass the ball to Clyde."
Why do we got Bell out there and pass pro again? Bell, get over here. Hey, Clyde, go. You know, do that thing. You know. And that's frustrating though. And I get why people are frustrated on that, because the return on investment was always contingent on him being a difference maker in the passing game, right?
And that was how it was portrayed. You know, it wasn't like the team wasn't saying it. Like, they were saying that in the moment. Like,
exactly. This is an offensive weapon
who just so happens to make dudes miss while carrying the football.
Yes. And so that's, if they want it, I don't think you're ever going to get the same return on investment in a first round running back who's really good, which I think Clyde is, but you'd get a better return with a really good, I mean, I could name like eight positions and it'd be a better return on investment. So maybe you can make the argument, well, we were more sure he would be good, so that closes the gap a little bit. And then you say, well, also he contributes so much in the passing game, that closes the gap a little bit. You can say all those things, but if you're not using him in that way that closes the gap, then it's like, well, crap, why didn't you just, you know, wait a couple rounds, draft Swift, and then grab a cornerback or a safety or an offensive lineman, right? And so that's those things. People always take it because I'm like pro Clyde as a player, that I'm pro the pick, and there are better things you can do with your resources.
So can I say something, Josh?
I would love that. Yeah, I am not nearly as excited about having this conversation again as most people probably think I am. So I would love for you to put the bow on
it. Okay, I'm gonna put the bow on it because
Chase Claypool, just like a dozen picks later. Oh,
I loved Chase Claypool.
It's not his fault. The quarterback is starting to become old as the weather gets colder. It's not his fault. Do I need to pull up the Doc Rivers? It's not on Chase Claypool.
Sorry, go ahead.
Here's how I'll put a bow on it. Obviously, I love all of our listeners. It warms my heart to sit on my couch yesterday and within five plays be like, is this a weird game? I think we're in the weird game category. I love the handle of your business, folks. I hope everybody's doing that as, again, the temperature gets colder outside. What I would start to now push for in our messaging to our audience is, when the Chiefs get down 10, here comes the real stuff.
Here comes
the real stuff, because I don't know. We need to, obviously I'm workshopping this in the moment. I have not thought of this earlier. This is mostly just coming from my brain right now. But like, my father has been pretty clear that like he loves Andy Reid because obviously of the play design and the aggressiveness, particularly with Mahomes at quarterback. But he's always aware of the fact that, and I'm sure my father's not the only one who notices this, but Chiefs get up two scores. Those plays don't come out. Hey, shut them down. Shut it down. Cool them all. Cool off the Jets. Like we ain't gotta worry about that no more. Then, you know, the game gets tight and Andy's like, all right, so back to what are we game plan for on Thursday? Yeah, I don't like that. I like this. Yeah, okay, here we go, Pat. Like it is such a which is also why we're kind of in the only weird games portion of this, you know, era of Chiefs football is because clearly, I feel like Eric Bieniemy and Mike Kafka. I'm gonna put Mike Kafka in this too, kids. Mike Kafka and Eric Bieniemy want to house people, okay? Like they want to dominate folks. Because quietly, Mike Kafka is probably gonna be your offensive coordinator in like a month. Anyway, they wanna dominate. Andy is always thinking big picture, which is his job as, like, I don't know, the head coach. Like, think about today and next week and January, because, like, you know, we gotta segment this all out. Plus, what I put on tape now means I have to change our plan as we move forward. So I get exactly what Andy's doing, but, like, just get the Chiefs down 10. It's the worst thing you could do, Brian Flores. It's the worst. Or you get up on the Chiefs by 10, and I better start telling Sean Payton right now, sir, you better have more plays. You better unload the clip. And I don't know if you want to unload the clip on December 15th, okay? Like, I don't know if that's wise for you because you may not play the Chiefs again because, you know, not in your conference. But, like, it's so fun that, like, we've all been asking for, Andy, where are the plays with Clyde Edwards-Helaire as, like, the mismatch? And then Andy's like, don't worry, I'm going to get down 10 by the Dolphins. You're going to see where it goes. And, hey, you don't think we've gotten the ball to Tyreek Hill yet? Don't worry. We're going to figure that out. We're going to get him the ball. Oh, you think we haven't thrown the ball deep yet? Because the Miami Dolphins think they can do that all game? Just wait. We'll come in the halftime. Come out of halftime. He'll roll right. Throw deep. It'll be a touchdown. Don't worry about it. I got all the plays, y'all. It's just I got to get down 10, okay? I can't show them all to you. Like, it's so funny to me that when the Chiefs are down 10, they start running plays that you haven't seen all year because it's hilarious because Andy Reid he's found a system to where I can beat you with the stuff that you know is coming and I can come back with the stuff that you have no idea is coming your way. And it's just, it's amazing.
The playoffs are going to be interesting.
Somebody phrase this Watch. For us, but like when the Chiefs get down 10, something happens offensively. Does the playbook come open? I don't know. Somebody figure this out for me. But like, Andy Reid starts showing you like the real plays, if that makes sense.
Right. It's going to be funny when, like, in the playoffs over the course of three games, they target Edwards-Helaire like 47 times or just something really stupid. Like, wouldn't that be the most Andy Reid thing ever? Well, think about, or Mecole Hardman or something. Right, we've been saving this, boys.
Think about the play where Mahomes misses McColl against the Buccaneers. That had not been ran all season. About what they just did to the Dolphins, which is not even what we were talking about in the first half, but on the 4-minute drive. Most teams would be running it here on first and second. Hey, Clyde, go to the farthest you can go on the boundary. They're not going to respect it. They're going to let you be off the ball 15 yards. Oh, that's a first down, baby.
But that was so bad.
Had they put that on tape? Not really.
It's been killing me. That specific play, that specific throw, just because Mahomes can get the ball there a split second faster than most quarterbacks. He's got a faster release, more velocity, and Edwards-Helaire in space against one dude. To me, that feels like a guaranteed 5 to 8 yards no matter what you're doing. You know, provided you don't do it 20 times a game. And they never run it. And it's been killing me. And then, of course, they get in this high variance, you know, incredibly important situation. And the Dolphins like, well, they never run. Oh, crap, he's got the ball. And I just, it's so frustrating. But it does make it easier to view it as intentional. But I still, like, I cannot believe the Dolphins were playing that far off. You heard Tony Romo.
Yes, Tony Romo was like, yo, what is
why are they
doing?
So far off the line of scrimmage? Oh, man. Josh, we kind of took over there for a minute. Sorry.
That's fine. No, that's all right. Listen, I don't I don't need to drive all the time. Sometimes I want to kick my feet back and look out the window, you know? Sometimes that's nice. You hit cruise control, you guys can talk. It's great. I love it. I just was thinking about how, I think I've mentioned this on this show before. I've definitely talked about it on the radio show. But there was, I think it was the Titans playoff game, before the Titans playoff game last year out at Arrowhead, where I asked Andy Reid a question that he took as me asking if he saves the good plays. And it really wasn't even the topic I was getting at. I just had to have asked the question very poorly.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you also remember. What I remember happening was that Andy Reid, threw a dagger from the podium straight into my chest because of my stupid idiot question. No, it was just like the only time that I feel like I've gotten a question, an answer from. I haven't asked Andy Reid a question in a year, pretty much, because the Zoom calls and whatnot. But it was one of the only times all season when it was like, oh, like, he didn't like that question, but also I'm confused because that's not what I thought I asked. Anyway, I think about that every time you guys talk about the Chiefs saving the good plays, because, I mean, he could have just lied and been like, no, man, stop it. Shush. Quiet that up. Yeah, we do that. I'm not going to tell you, though. I just think about that every time, and I go into, like, that, you know, that gif of, like, Fortunate Son starts playing in my head whenever I think back to that moment.
Yeah, they do, like, for as sophisticated as this plan is, Josh, they do slip up quite a bit as a coaching staff. I asked Derek Bienemy a similar question this year, and he's like, we have all the plays. And I'm like, yeah. Shh, you're not supposed to be saying that. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Andy Reid's like,
do you guys want us to not run it back? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, but
I think I asked about, like, I could probably go find the story. It probably was for an athletic story that I can go find my author profile, try to figure out what I actually asked. But I don't think it was that.
He was basically like, stop asking me, but don't worry about it. He pulled a Nick Saban. He pulled a Nick Saban, but was also like, I mean, you're spot on. Like, what?
Yeah. You're not wrong. No, and that's where I'm so curious what it's going to look like in the playoffs, because I do think at times the Chiefs, there is a concern to me that the Chiefs, like, always feel like they can turn it on, right, and go on that run. And that's not always going to necessarily be true. And you want to make sure not to save too much, because what if you bust out these new plays, they don't work quite as well as you thought, then it's like, well, man, was it worth saving these all year? But it also makes me very excited for the playoffs, because, like, they were running stuff against Houston and Tennessee, and then later on against the Niners that we hadn't seen all year. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see an entire game plans based around players that we wouldn't think. And that's where maybe you'll see that with Clyde. I don't know. In the meantime, though, it does look like a mistake to not target him more, because, like you talk about, I mean, he gets the ball in space against linebackers and they're not quick enough, and secondary guys do not like tackling him. Like, that thing down the left sideline, I laughed so hard, because I feel like that's what it would look like if I tried to tackle him. No, how it would look like if I tried to tackle him would be what Kelsey did to that Denver D-back last week. That was so bad. But, like, he just, instead of going out of bounds, he just kept running. And the defender's like, hey, wait. Guys, he wasn't supposed to do that. Like, and I just, it's a frustrating thing. So I don't know. I'd like to see more targeting there, because it's like, it seems so easy. So the fact that they don't do it drives me crazy. But I'm going to view it all through a master plan. Maybe, hopefully, Josh, you can ask Andy Reid about it at some point and see if he'll throw another dagger at you.
Not going to do that. You know what? I did just go back though and realize. Remember that I wrote that story about how Derrick Henry wasn't even, like, the biggest thing to worry about in the Titans playoff game, and then he wasn't. Man, that was a good article.
It's still one of my favorite stories of this time being the Chiefs beat writer. Because
soaking that one back up.
Oh, just breathe it in. Because honestly, I will tell you this too, Josh. I got to Googling and I reread that in preparation of our MythBuster to tell people that, like, time of possession doesn't matter. And then I read it, and I was just like, God, this is. I remember we were, you know, before the pandemic, guys. Me and Josh would just talk in person together.
Yeah,
and we would
remember what that was like,
and we would just be like, but that doesn't make any sense. And he was like, yeah, and it's like, well, maybe I should ask Mike Vrabel about that. And I'm like, you know, he's like, I'd be happy about that, right? And he's like, yeah, it'll be fun. And I was like, okay, go do that. And then he went and did that, and Mike Vrabel was like, well, I mean, he's kind of our entire office. And I mean, I see what you're saying, but like, can you not write that? Oh wait, it's going up tomorrow. Okay.
you guys. Hey, you guys remember seeing people? Oh, cool. That was a thing when we used to
eat barbecue together? You know, in the barbecue capital of the world? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Hello, darkness, my friend.
Yeah. I've come to talk with you
again. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's talk about some of the other specifics from this game. I don't know if we can just, if Danielle's going to just put that music bed under the next several minutes or not. Because like, this is something that's also going to give some Chiefs fans flashbacks. I know it's something that you both have tweeted and talked about many, many times over. It's something, Seth, I know you'll write about probably a little on The Athletic, a little on the Chief of the North newsletter. Willie Gay got more snaps because Damien Wilson did not play in this game, but he didn't get all of those snaps. Ben Neiman pretty much still got all of his snaps, and he had some big moments. Seth, I'll go to you first on this one, because you even tweeted a little thing about, you know what? I just sort of think like maybe he should play a little more. Just sort of seems like based off these things I'm seeing, and he hasn't really been still.
I feel like I'm living the same nightmare over and over and over.
Okay, hold on. Now, let's do another copyrighted song.
I got you, babe.
That's Groundhog Day. I've seen that film.
I got you.
Yes. See, that's a great film, too. If I sound out of breath, it's because I just ran outside to start my car. I got to tell you, I am not in good shape, fellas. Like, this is not, I'm not in game shape.
This isn't anyway. COVID's fault at this point, right? We're on to...
To be totally serious, actually, yeah, it's been kind of tough sledding in terms of breathing. Like when I go upstairs,
you shouldn't be sledding at all.
Well, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. I going up that hill, it's been killing me. Anyway,
how many games after Cam Newton came back from COVID did he start getting crushed again nationally? That's how long you've got.
Yeah, I think I got 3 weeks.
Okay, sense. All right, cool. Fair enough. Yep. You're good. Yeah. You're in the window.
Yeah. Now I just got to work out a lot in the next few days. It might be like the massive two slices of pizza I ate for a late lunch, too.
Oh, man. Pizza sounds so good right now.
Oh, it was really great. So here's the thing with Willie Gay Jr. It was just one play that I showed. He didn't like make a ton of plays. I know PFF really loves him, but the sample size is super small.
Yeah.
And the role he's being asked to play is not particularly large. And so maybe it just allows for more opportunities. But so there, when the Dolphins tried their little end around and then throw back to Tua, and the Chiefs defended it really well and the receiver tried to scramble, I mean, Gay covered a lot of ground on that play real fast. And he's so clearly so much more athletic than the rest of their linebackers. And honest to goodness, closes faster than some of their safeties. Well, one of their safeties. I'm sorry.
Who could you ever be distinguishing there, Seth?
You know, that made me laugh, and I hate it when I laugh at my own jokes. Well, one of their safeties. To be fair, Juan Thornhill isn't closing quite as fast as he was pre-injury.
Yeah,
and I was not talking about Juan Thornhill.
Well, Tyrann Mathieu's getting up in age a little bit, but he still is pretty explosive. Seth.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And Armani Watts. Yeah, I'll tell you what, he closes.
Yeah,
he closes
got great
well.
Straight line speed, especially special teams. Yeah.
Yep.
Chris Lammons is listed on as a safety on the depth chart, it looks like.
Yeah, well, that's why he can't get on the field. Yeah. And so, yep, okay. You've discovered me. Mm. Well, one of them. So, I think them. I promised to never say anything about that player again.
You didn't mention about Chris Lammons? That's crazy. Why would you?
So it just is mystifying to me. So when I say I feel like I'm living like the same nightmare, obviously analyzing the Chiefs and cheering for them has been incredible the last few years. But like this feels like the Dorian O'Daniel saga all over again, just even more inexplicable because Willie Gay Jr. is not undersized.
Yeah.
He also looks a lot better against the run in terms of minding his run fits, in terms of taking on and shedding blockers. And he also isn't showing. You want to know what's going on with Dorian O'Daniel? I could be wrong about this, and maybe you know he'll DM me and tell me I'm an idiot or something. I don't know. He looked lost in zone coverage every time he played. He just, you know, if he was asked to cover, you know, running backs and man, he did well, but he's undersized and he looked lost in zone coverage. Bill Gay, he does not look lost in zone coverage. He looks pretty good. So
This made me sad. This even more mystifying. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, because with O'Daniel, it was the same thing, right? He played a limited role, and so we'd see him flying all over the field.
That was it.
Yeah, and whereas with Gay, we're seeing him flash, and I also see him make pretty good plays that fly under the radar a little bit more that look indicative of him being able to do things more on a full-time basis. I get Steve Spagnuolo and Matt House want their linebackers to be very cerebral and all this stuff, but it is starting to really frustrate the daylights out of me because he's clearly another speed faster than their other linebackers. And we've been waiting, and Nate, you were right, and in December, the play has ticked up, but
no.
Not as much as we've all been hoping. And so that's been frustrating.
Not what I won't say necessarily told, but like what the projection sort of seemed to suggest about just where we were going to be at this time of the year. I mean, they have three games left, guys. Like three games left, and then it's, you know, there is no tomorrow if you don't get a win. So I don't know if we're ever going to find the true answer. Of course, some of this has been Neiman. Whatever your opinion is of Ben Neiman, it's not the Chiefs. So can they get him on the field more between now and January? You hope. But and another layer to this, too, is Damian Wilson was out with the knee injury. We'll see as the week goes on if he'll practice, if he'll be, you know, a possibility to play against the Saints. But, man, they just got to see it for themselves. Play him as much as you can in the next three games and then go from there in terms of what can he do to specifically make you better against whatever your opponent is whenever you play your first playoff game. That would be my recommendation, Josh, because – you already know what you have in Ben Neiman. You already, like, I would tell Damian Wilson, hey man, let that knee get right another week or two. Anthony Hitchens is still, you know, the guy with the most responsibility, so he'll continue to play his role. But, like, let's go with this. Hope it doesn't burn us. And tell me if I'm wrong, either one, fellas. I don't feel like Willie Gay has made a glaring mistake over the last two games. So let's just keep building this up. Yeah. Give him as many snaps as possible. And then use all that information to help game plan for whoever you see in the playoffs.
The thing about that I think makes that makes total sense, and also where it kind of I don't say it bothers me. I'm sleeping fine. I mean, I'm not, but it's for totally unrelated reasons. I'm still tired. I wonder why that would start now if it hadn't yet. You know what I mean? Like, if they're thinking, all right, we're going to go ahead and take a couple of, we might end up with a skinned knee here or there trying this thing. We might get, maybe he'll get burned and a running back will end up with a long touchdown or a big gain or whatever. But it's really, it's more important that we get Willie Gay these meaningful snaps. But the other element of that, that I think is maybe even more of a relatively inarguable element, it's not even what the Dolphins did with, like, Tua, where, you know, I think their best chance in some way may have been to just stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they're going to the young quarterback for the sake of the development. I don't think that there's any evidence that Willie Gay is going to tank the Chiefs' defense. And if it gets really bad for a matchup or in a game or whatever, right, you're under no obligation to not throw Damian Wilson right back out there, or throw Ben Neiman right back out there, especially if you're talking about, you know, picking your spots in coverage and then using him more aggressively in the blitzing game, which is still Ben Neiman's job, as far as I can tell. I'm not even saying he's got to get 100% of the snaps, but it seems like there are places where his role could reasonably expand. But so Nate threw this out first, Seth, but I mean, is there any evidence that he has been a large negative at any point that maybe spooks the Chiefs a little bit, or is that not the case on tape?
On tape, you can find some snaps where he'll over pursue. That's an issue. He's still learning NFL speed and angles. And so there were a few, against Denver, he had a couple of missed tackles that he probably should have hit, right? Maybe I'm thinking the game before. Either way, these last three games have kind of blended together. He had a few plays where he overran and missed tackles that he could have hit. Overall, though, the positive has far outweighed the negative. And even when he's been placed in coverage, where he's kind of a little wild right now still, but he has the speed to make up for it, and he's got pretty good instincts. He might be a tick slow in recognizing, but honestly, Hitchens and Wilson both look a tick slow recognizing when they're in coverage to me, too. And unlike them, Gay has the speed to recover it.
Yeah.
And so I don't see a reason why he's not out there more. I assume they're looking for him to demonstrate something in the film room and in practice in terms of complete and total understanding of the system. But I don't understand why, with Hitch out there, and I like Damian Wilson, especially for the cost, right? Mm-hmm. But with Hitch already out there, I don't know why you need both like that. So that would be my hot take on him.
Also, Seth, I don't know if you didn't know this, but Tedrick Thompson's not on the roster anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay, well, we've pretty much worked through all the Chiefs safeties.
Yeah. Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah, no, it bummed me out. Hey, if I don't leave,
I was
right
gonna
this
say
second,
I just looked at the clock and thought Seth's gotta go or else he's gonna get divorced. So
that's probably true.
Yeah.
So hey, you know what? You guys take it easy, and I think you guys should just talk only about the value of drafting running backs in the first round while I'm gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's throw your smoke bomb. Just throw your smoke bomb and disappear. That's fine.
Like Batman, a ninja.
Batman your way out of this one. That's it. That's the show. I'll tell you again, there's more from Seth coming in the Chief of the North newsletter and, of course, up on theathletic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Nate, I know you've got some things cooking still as well. Also looking at Mahomes versus the Blitz. We might have an easier time talking about that later in the week as we look ahead to Chiefs Saints, which should be very, very interesting. But for now, the Chiefs are the one seed in the AFC. Another AFC West title gets racked up. Once again, just sort of like last week, it doesn't feel like that was some huge breaking news because it was sort of expected. It's five straight titles for the Chiefs. But here we are once again. And also
yes.
Now, this one does matter. Sole possession of the one seed means sole possession of the only first round bye that would come in the AFC, one in each conference. That will be enormous if that holds.
For the Chiefs themselves, yes, at times they are unusual, but they are who we think they are. They are a team that is like, has there ever been a team like this in NFL history? The answer is probably no. It's like
they only
win in the most brazenly bizarre ways. So hey, if you can't beat Patrick Mahomes with four interceptions, or four turnovers, I should say, when are you going to beat this dude? So, whew, good luck, guys. Good luck. And unfortunately, somebody needs to give me this phrase on Twitter as to Andy Reid's playbook. Like, are there two versions of the playbook? Is it like Old Testament, New Testament? I don't know.
Just
throwing it out there, kids. You know, you want to see more New Testament. I guess put the Chiefs down.
we have some things to iron out still there, I think. Yeah, fair enough.
Hey, hey! Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.